Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 5th chapter. Let us listen for God's word. Once while Jesus was standing beside the Lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long and have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, here we are, the middle of September. Most people have returned from their summer sojourns. School has started. The relaxed summer schedules have been replaced by all the busy routines of our lives. Although I love fall and am looking forward to this new school and program year, I'm sure I'm not the only one who every now and then looks back wistfully to the lazy, hazy days of summer and the travels we enjoyed. Think back 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, or 10. Where were you? Where did your summer travels take you? 5 weeks ago, we were in the Adirondacks hiking. 7 weeks ago, my daughter Sophie and my husband Chip were in the Dominican Republic on a mission trip. 9 weeks ago, I was on a bus with 30 youth and adults from our church and presbytery, traveling to the Presbyterian Youth Triennium at Purdue University. 10 weeks ago, I was blasting off to Mars and beyond with the Vacation Bible School kids. And 11 weeks ago, our family was up at the lake in Canada for vacation. Phew, maybe that was too much traveling. Sometimes it's hard to come home again, isn't it? After all that excitement and time away. Although I'm always happy to sleep in my own bed again, I usually don't feel the same way about returning to work or school or all of the more routine aspects of life, like washing dishes and doing laundry and housework. I imagine it's kind of like what the astronauts experience when they return home from a mission in outer space. Re-entry into the Earth's atmosphere can be one of the most tricky parts of the journey, and it's usually pretty bumpy, even jarring. Whether we're returning from outer space or just the beach, re-entry can be hard. It feels so anticlimactic. The trip that we spent weeks or months planning and looking forward to is now over. And now we're just faced with piles of mail, an inbox full of emails, a musty house, an overgrown yard, and everything else we need to do to catch up at work, at school, at home. Now it's time to go back to the daily grind, or maybe even the rat race. Is it any wonder that we sigh and wistfully look back to less structured and demanding days? I think this is exactly where our scripture passage today invites us to see our lives from a very different perspective. What if, in reality, the real adventure starts now, today, in the midst of our daily routines and obligations? What if all that traveling and vacation time was just a prelude to the real journey, which starts today. This is what the disciples in our Bible story today discovered, that the adventure of a lifetime often begins in the midst of ordinary life and when we least expect it. As Luke tells it, Simon Peter and his fishing partners were just finishing up a long day at work. Well, actually, it was morning. They worked nights because that was the best time to catch fish. Depending on what kind of nets they used, the fishermen either spent the night in the boat throwing and retrieving their nets, or they put the nets out at night, went home to catch a few winks before going out again early in the morning to bring in the catch in order to get it to market first thing. It was grueling, tiring work, made even more so on this particular day because they had come back to shore with their nets empty. The only thing left to do was to wash them out so they could get ready to do it all over again this evening. That's when Jesus appeared, walking down the path toward the shoreline, followed by a large crowd. Simon Peter had already encountered this guy Jesus, who had been doing some fiery preaching and teaching at the synagogue in town. Jesus had even come to his house a few weeks earlier and healed his mother-in-law from a fever. Everybody was talking about Jesus, how he taught with such authority, how he could heal the sick and cast out demons. Simon Peter didn't quite know what to think about this local sensation. But what he did know was that there was still work to be done and mouths to be fed. So he went about his daily routine, throwing out nets, catching fish, selling them when he had them, all to make a living and take care of his family. Simon Peter and his fishing buddies were packing up for the day when Jesus came down to the shoreline and got ready to teach the crowd. There were so many people, however, that Jesus couldn't even shout loud enough for everyone to hear him. So Jesus stopped and looked around him. As biblical scholar Tom Wright notes, all along the lake shore of Capernaum, there is a sequence of steep inlets, a zigzagging shoreline with each inlet forming a natural amphitheater. To this day, if you get in a boat and push off a little from the shore, you can talk in quite a natural voice, and anyone on the slopes of the inlet can hear you clearly, more clearly, in fact, than if you were right there on the shore with them. Jesus took note of this, and then he turned around and saw Simon there by his boat washing out his nets. Jesus asked him for a favor. "Simon, could you take me out in the boat a little way from the shore so that I can teach the crowd?" Now, Simon Peter was probably really looking forward to going home, getting something to eat, a cup of coffee maybe, taking a nap after a discouraging night on the water. But hey, why not? It's not like he had any fish to take to market anyway. And after all, Jesus did heal his mother-in-law, and it certainly wouldn't hurt his reputation in the community to be seen helping this local celebrity. So Simon Peter and his crew took Jesus out on the boat. When Jesus had finally finished his teaching, Simon Peter was ready to get back to shore. But Jesus said, "Hey, let's go fishing. Let's go out there to the deep water and see if we can catch anything." Inside, I'm sure Simon was internally rolling his eyes and cursing his generosity. Didn't this guy know that midday was the worst time of day to catch fish? And deep water was especially tough because you couldn't see what was going on down there. But okay, whatever. "You know, we were out all night and didn't catch anything, right?" he said to Jesus. "But okay, let's go." They rowed or sailed out to the deeper water, and that's when the fish practically started jumping into the boat. No sooner did they put out the nets than those bobbers started bobbing and those lines started tugging. Simon Peter and his crew could barely keep up with hauling in all the fish. They were coming in so fast he had to yell to his partners back on the shore to come out and help them. They filled both boats so full of fish that they began to sink. Imagine a first century fishing boat that was about 27 feet long, 7 feet wide, 4 feet deep, so full of fish they could barely stay upright. This was about the time when Simon Peter began to realize that he was not in the presence of an ordinary prophet or miracle worker anymore. The power of God was at work all around him, and he was afraid. "Enough, Lord. Make it stop. I don't deserve all this. I'm a sinful man." But Jesus just looked at him and said, "Don't be afraid. Keep on rowing. When we get back to shore, I'm going to show you all how to catch people, how to fish lives out of the murky depths of life into the light of God's presence." Have you ever been on a roller coaster? Right at the top of the biggest hill? Right on the brink of going over the edge? You know that feeling you kind of get in your stomach? Like, uh-oh, wait, stop, I'm not sure I'm ready for this. Oh, well, it's too late now. Here we go! I think that's what Simon and his fishing buddies were feeling all the way back to shore. Fear, excitement, anticipation, hope, the dawning realization that life was never going to be the same for them again. And when they got back to shore, they left everything there. All that fish, the net, their boats, they left it all behind to follow Jesus. They took the first steps on what was to become the adventure of a lifetime with Jesus. For Simon Peter and James and John, the greatest adventure of their life began on an ordinary day in the midst of their ordinary routine lives. They weren't looking for it, they weren't expecting it, but Jesus showed up anyway and asked them to get in the boat with him. And then he took them for a ride that just about blew them out of the water, almost literally. Jesus shows up in our lives every day, too. Usually when and where we least expect it, often when it's not convenient, often in the faces of people we don't know. Jesus, the living Word of God, is here today in this scripture passage, inviting all of us to get in the boat with him, to take him out from the safety of the shoreline into the deeper waters of our lives, to follow him, and to trust him to turn our empty nets into an abundant catch. When it comes to being a disciple of Jesus, today really is the first day of the rest of your life. In the Reformed tradition, the branch of the Christian family tree that we Presbyterians are part of, some of the early reformers liked to think of the church not as a sanctuary, but as a boat. In fact, if you think about kind of traditional church architecture, think about how the worship spaces kind of come to a point at the front of the worship space, and how the ceiling and the walls slant upward to form an arch in the ceiling. Well, those early reformers said, you know, if you turn that upside down, you don't have a church anymore, you have a boat. And the pulpit, the Word of God, is right there up front at the helm of the boat, charting our course. The idea was that the church was not supposed to be a safe and comfortable place to go to escape the work and worries of our lives, but actually a boat that set sail right into the deep waters of life and faith. The church is not supposed to be stationary, standing still in its time and place, but rather on the move, with the Spirit of God in its sails, traversing the calm waters and the stormy seas of life, and catching people in the nets of God's love and grace and new life. As one preacher wrote, that's the challenge for us today, to venture beyond our comfort zones and put out into the deep water of our lives, lives of Christian discipleship. Too often we stay close to shore, safe and comfortable, when Jesus is calling us to be active, adventurous, and willing to explore new territory. That's where the fish are. That's where the growth happens. That's where we can make surprising discoveries about ourselves and the world around us. So what do you say? Are you ready for an adventure? Are you ready to get in the boat with Jesus? I think it's interesting that when Simon Peter got in the boat, the first thing he did was listen to Jesus' teaching. This morning and later this afternoon and evening, as well as all throughout the week, we too have all kinds of opportunities for people of all ages to learn about Jesus and what it means to be a disciple. We have Sunday school and confirmation and youth groups and adult ed, which has a new name, Faith for Life. Because listening to Jesus, hearing his word, and growing in our relationship with God is a lifelong journey. It doesn't end with confirmation or when you turn 18. For disciples of Jesus Christ, the journey of faith truly is the adventure of a whole lifetime. So let's get on the boat and set sail with Jesus. Let's listen to the living word of God. Let's learn and grow together in what it means to be the church of Jesus Christ. Let's head out into the deep waters of faith and life so that we can explore new possibilities for ministry and mission. Let's bait our nets with the love and grace, the justice and hope of our God. And let's see how many lives we can touch and change and lift up into the light of God's redeeming love. Let's get in the boat. Are we ready? Probably not. But let's do it anyway. Bon voyage. Amen.